anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
All the cool kids keep enthusiasm rationed, right down to the last explosive ounce. But I'd rather indulge my many passions, even if my squaritude's a little too pronounced. Perhaps I do not strike you as a geek without the horn-rimmed glasses and knee-high Argyle socks. But nerdery is more than wardrobe deep, and I'm a nerd down in my heart, and that's where nerdhood rocks. I'm better acquainted than a good girl ought to be with Aragorn and Yosef Bridge and Worf and Hal and Han. But you don't really know me, and my culture don't control me, so don't you pigeonhole me, cause my phaser's set to stun. Oh, I have been a nerd since long before I could have heard that bookish girls should look and act a certain way. And I'll still be a geek when I am utterly antique, because I do not care what normal people say.
You're listening to a special Anomaly Week interview hosted by Sue from Anomaly Supplemental. Thank you, Sue.
This is Jessica Mills. I can relate any real-life experience to a Star Trek The Next Generation episode, and you're listening to the Anomaly Podcast.
Hi, everybody. By the magic of Skype, I am joined by Jessica Mills, who is the creator, author, star, writer, everything, pretty much, for Awkward Embraces. So, hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Before we jump right in, I do have one quick geeky question for you, which is, if you had one sci-fi robot who was your best friend, which one do you think it would be?
The Terminator from Terminator 2.
Seriously?
Oh, yes, of course. Please. Are you kidding? Yes.
That's awesome.
Total badass, and he's all sweet and stuff.
I love it. So for any of the audience who might not be familiar with your web series, Awkward Embraces, do you want to give a brief summary or introduction and tell people why they should be watching your series?
Sure. It's a comedy web series about a geek girl and her dating misadventures. It is called Awkward Embraces. Because we just explore all of the awkward experiences that everyone has had in dating. And my character's two best friends are not geeky, so they don't get her geeky stuff at all. And she gets into all this trouble. And it's a lot of fun. Definitely check it out. Watch one episode, and if you're not hooked, then I'll be surprised.
I have to tell you, I was completely useless at work today because I was rewatching the series.
Yay! Thank you. I love hearing that.
I do have a question about your cast members. Are the girls who play the non-geeky characters, are they actually geeks? Do they get it?
You know, it's funny. I didn't think they were, but the more, because we knew each other, you know, we went to college together, but I didn't think they were geeky, but it's so funny how you'd be surprised how many people actually are. Like, they love comic book movies. Candace recently got into Doctor Who and is going crazy over it. So they're not as hardcore as I am, but they both, like, they definitely like some geeky things. Lindsay's a geek for UFC, actually, which is really funny.
Oh, that is funny. Because yeah. I was thinking, if they do get it, if they are even slightly geeky, they do a really good job of making it appear that they are not. Because it's hysterical.
Well, they're two of them. Talented actresses I know, which is why I put them in the show, so they're very good.
All right. So is it true that some of the dates your character has gone on are based on real life experiences?
Yes. season one is almost entirely based on real life events. In some way, at least. I mean, they're all exaggerated. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, the IT guy, the first two episodes, if you haven't seen the show in the first episode, my friend hooks me up with this IT guy at work, And then I go on a date with him in the second episode. And that all came about because there was an IT guy at my job. And he was really cute. And he just came in for that day to fix a computer or something. And at the time I was the only single receptionist at the animal hospital where I work. And so they're constantly trying to hook me up with people. And so they were all trying to coach me on how to flirt with this IT guy. And it was the whole thing, I was like, this is an episode of my show. So that's how the first two episodes came out of it. So
that's fantastic. So you had the idea to do the series before that even happened to you.
Yeah, I was writing the series at the time that happened, and I was like, this is perfect. So a lot of the other ones, they were, I have a lot of awkward dating stories because I'm awkward. I'm awkward and I don't date well. So, you know, when you come home from one of those embarrassing, awkward experiences, I have found the best way to get over it is to turn it into a funny story so that then you're making people laugh with it. So I had this like stock collection of funny, dating stories that I've told people. So then when I was looking to do a web series, it just made sense to tap into those stories that I tell people all the time anyway.
What made you decide to do a web series? Like why was that your creative outlet of choice?
Well, I was a very frustrated actress in LA. I went to a casting director workshop and I got really mad at how, because she was basically just shutting us down. Like, if you're not in the union, no one will pay attention to you and this and that. Just basically telling us all how hard it was going to be or whatever, which is something I already knew. I was like, I'm 28 years old. I could get it by now. Thanks. So then I was like, I need to start doing my own stuff. So actually what I first did was I wrote a feature film with a friend of mine, and then we got it. We worked for 9 months on the script and we got it written, and we realized it was going to cost at least $250,000 to make. I had heard of Felicia Day. I heard of her through Dr. Horrible because I'm a huge Joss Whedon fan. So I saw Dr. Horrible. I saw Felicia Day. I was like, who is this girl? Who is this luckiest girl on the planet that gets to Marble. I have to, you know, so I Googled her and I found the guild, and that sort of put like the nugget of web series in my brain. And then, you know, after we finished the feature and it was going to be impossible for us to be able to make it, I thought web series, like that's, so then I really started watching the guild and paying attention to different things. And I just, started developing ideas and that's how it happened. That was a way longer story than it should have been. I apologize.
No, it makes total sense. I mean, I think that whether she knows it or not, that Felicia has inspired most of the web series that are out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's a huge hero of mine. She's just such an inspiration. And she's such a sweet person. Like, she's just remained really super nice. She's so nice to everyone she meets. So she's really cool.
So then how long did it take you to go from having this nugget of an idea to getting your first episode actually online for people to see?
Well, so I wrote the first episode, actually the donut episode, which is episode 104. Uh-huh. Is it the fourth episode? Yes, I think so. So I wrote that in like an hour or something. Uh-huh. I just kind of spit it out. And, originally it was going to be a short, and there's actually deleted scenes of the guys talking. And the flipping back and forth between the guys talking and the girls talking.
Okay.
I wrote that in like an afternoon. I sent it to a friend who knew a guy who had a camera. We booked the shoot for a month later. I found locations. I spent that month, you know, getting everything together. We shot it. He had it edited in about 2 weeks. So that first episode from idea to completion was about a 6-week process probably. When we decided that a director ended up signing on for the rest of the show, and he's still working on it. Adam Finman, he's also my editor. Once we decided, he was like, I'm ready to do more. And I was like, great, because I have more ideas. So then we had to kind of strategize it. So I had to sit down and write the whole season. And then everybody was working for free, so we could only shoot on weekends. So it was trying to find weekends where everyone was available. And then once we shot it, getting everything edited and then coming up with like a release plan and a marketing plan and all of that. So really it was a 9-month process before, from the first time we shot the donut episode up until the first episode aired. It was about 9 months worth of work to get there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we have one of the Anomaly podcast staff is actually working on creating a new web series. And one of the questions that she likes to ask is, how would you say that the internet has allowed you to do this? How has it contributed to your ability to be able to create the kind of art that you want to create?
What's awesome about it is that there are no barriers to... There's nothing stopping you, basically. You can go as far as your willingness to work will take you. So I love it. I love the internet, and I love the creative freedom that I have. There's nobody telling me no, which can be a bad thing sometimes in shows, because people will make mistakes and they won't, you know, and it doesn't go well. But it can also be great, because there's no one saying, oh, well, the demographic's not really going to get that joke or this kind of thing. Like, people are just free to create and do what they want. And then they put it out there and it goes as far as they're willing to promote it and to push it. And it's a very difficult medium because it's so flooded with content, and it's hard to get people to actually watch your stuff. But it's so gratifying to, you know, the people involved in web television are just some of the best people I've met in Hollywood. They're very helpful and very open, and they're very passionate about web television. So it's a really nurturing community. And it's just fun as hell to just be able to do what you want, you know. You can go as far as your imagination can take you. It's great.
So then, now that you are doing exactly what you want to do and the type of thing you want to do, are you still trying to do any things in traditional media, or are you just focused on your own projects at this point?
Well, I'm definitely not opposed to traditional media. I'm a film and television junkie. I'm not opposed to anything, but I am creating two more web series at the moment. So, it's kind of my home. It's my comfort zone. It's where I've been. I've never worked in television at all. So, you know, I would definitely be open to the experience, but, my experience, like right now, my experience level and my comfort zone, I just love web series. I know so many talented people in web series. I'm having a really good time with it. So that's kind of where my focus is mostly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So then what are your other two web series that are happening now?
Well, actually I'm working on three web series. I forgot. I had to check. There's someone here that I'm working with on one of them, and I had to check on how much I can say. So I discovered a web series that I love. They just have one season, so I contacted them, and I really, really want to work on the second season. So I'm hoping that we can get that ball rolling, but I don't want to say until everything is solidified. So I'm looking to help produce a second season of a show that's already established. And then I'm currently co-writing with my friend Rob Padgett, who wrote Vampire Zombie Werewolf. He and I are co-writing a sci-fi comedy series. And I can't go into too many details on that either, because we haven't, like, registered it or copyrighted it or anything. So, and then I'm working on, also, I'm writing for myself sort of an action thriller comedy. Those are all in development at the moment. But as soon as things get more solidified, I will be shouting from the rooftops about the cool stuff, so.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, our podcast this month is kind of focusing on women and fandom and being a girl in the geek world. Mm-hmm. So the next set of questions is pretty much tying in to that kind of theme. So I don't know. It seems to me that women in the geeky community have been getting louder and demanding more recognition over the past few years. And have you noticed that? And if you have,
absolutely.
Why do you think it's happening?
The internet, the magic of the internet. I mean, I grew up a geek girl. I remember going to college. I was in college, and I was hanging out with my guy friends who were all geeky, and there was another girl there who loved Star Trek as much as I did, and we were blown away. We couldn't believe it. We were like, oh my God, like, we had no idea there were other female creatures like us out there, you know. But that was, you know, it was late 90s, so it's not like, you know, early 2000s, so it's not like the internet didn't exist. But recently the female geek bloggers have really blown up, and with Twitter and social media, now blogs and things, they have a much better reach through social media. So like Jill Pantozzi, the Nerdy Bird, Amy Ratcliffe, Geek with Curves, Bonnie Burton, who works at Lucasfilm, Geek Girl Diva, these bloggers are finally reaching their audience. So geek girls are like, oh my God, this girl writes a blog. I love it. And then they comment, and there's all these other girls commenting, and then they're going on Twitter and they're talking on Twitter, and they're, so we've formed this online community. So now it's like, oh my God, all of a sudden geek girls exist. It's not true. We've just found each other for the first time. So now we get to have conversations about like TARDIS corsets and stuff, you know, when we've never had anyone to talk to about that stuff before. So it's just, we're just all incredibly excited to have found each other.
That's amazing. no, it's completely true. It's like we're not limited by geography anymore.
Yes! Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
So, growing up as a geek, when did you sort of realize that you weren't necessarily having interested in the same things that some of the other girls might have been interested in?
You know, I was very confused all the time. I didn't really, like, nerd or geek or whatever, that wasn't a word that was in my vocabulary. I grew up in a very small rural town in Texas. So, like, nerd and geek and stuff like that, it wasn't really in the vocabulary that much. Plus, you know, I was born in 1980, so I grew up in the 80s and 90s, so tech and computers and stuff were still kind of a foreign concept when I was a kid. I just knew that, like, I remember the season premiere of Star Trek The Next Generation coming on, and my dad being super excited and watching it with him and being totally hooked. I remember the moment I discovered the Dragonlance novels in the local library on the, like, the reject paperback pile. I never had anything in common with the other kids. I was Hermione. I was the Hermione of my school. So they didn't really like hanging out with me either, because I really liked knowing the right answers and stuff. I'm sure I was so obnoxious. So it wasn't geek and all that stuff. It wasn't a concept. It wasn't even a concept all the way up through college, because I went to college in another small town in Texas. And it wasn't until Awkward Embraces came out that I always went to Comic-Con and stuff, but I just didn't have a vocabulary for it until the community found me. And I found the community through promoting Awkward Embraces. And that's when I was like, I'm a geek. And there's other people like me, you know.
So before, even if the words weren't necessarily in your vocabulary, there was a distancing from the other kids growing up?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Did you ever have any bullying experience, any discrimination for that, or did you just remove yourself from them?
No, I was bullied really bad as a kid, yeah. It was bad. No, it wasn't good.
do you think that still exists as adults for people who identify as geeks, or has that pretty much gone away at this point where, you know, geeks are starting to rule the world?
You know, I think bullying absolutely still exists in adulthood, but I think it's not geared towards geek and non-geek anymore. I mean, there's always people who are going to be like, you know, oh, that's stupid or whatever, but, bullying definitely exists in adulthood. It's just a lot more insidious because it's kind of disguised. But as far as like geek and non-geek sort of discrimination, like the line is getting so blurred these days. You know, I mean, there's guys that play fantasy football, and I don't care how much of a jock you are, fantasy football's geeky, okay? Like, get over it. You know? Like, there's so many, you know. So, I don't know. I haven't really experienced a lot of discrimination for being geeky, but I'm a girl. So, like, that could be it too. You know what I mean?
It's quite possible. Did you start to feel like you were embracing your geekiness for you, coming to terms with it, knowing this is who I am, at a younger age, or did that happen in the production of Awkward Embraces as well?
You know, I've always just liked what I liked and just done what I did. I mean, part of the, I was bullied so much as a kid that by the time I was in high school, I realized there was nothing I could do for me to make anyone like me. Like, I'd tried everything by then, so I just kept liking what I liked and doing what I wanted. And I didn't really have a vocabulary to call myself a geek and like wear it proudly. I just knew that I liked stuff that other people didn't. The thing about Awkward Embraces is that it helped me find a community, and I've never had a community for it before. I've always been watching sci-fi and stuff like by myself, you know? So, Awkward Embraces, really helped me find a community and people to join in with on that stuff, which is, it's absolutely changed my life.
Growing up and even now, who would you say that you found heroes or inspiration in science fiction shows or characters, and has what inspires you from these science fiction shows or fantasy shows, has it changed over the years? Is there anything that matured in science fiction that kind of helped you through anything, or has it always been, this is, you know, the next generation is my first love and that's just it? Because that's how I feel sometimes.
Well, I was raised by a feminist in the 80s in a very small rural town. She's one of my best friends, and she's always inspired me. So one of the things that attracted me to sci-fi and fantasy was that there were very strong female characters in those stories. I mean, of course, Ripley from Aliens was one of the first ones. Sarah Connor, you know, as a kid, like, if I looked for strong, powerful female role models because I was raised by one and I wanted to be one, and that's where I found them. You know, and I mean, yeah, growing up, Sarah Connor and Ripley, Sigourney Weaver in Ghostbusters as well. She was just so awesome in that movie. Not so much the second one. She was like barefoot and had a baby or whatever, but like the first one, she's totally awesome. So yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
My mind wandered.
Also, on the other end of that, though, do you feel like there are any shows or books or anything in sci-fi media that doesn't really get it in terms of strong female characters?
It's weird. It's an odd thing because, of course, like, especially with the DC relaunch happening, I'm only just now getting back into comics, but I've seen, it's always been sort of like the comic book ideal, the women in skimpy armor, which doesn't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't make any practical sense at all whatsoever. So women are objectified a lot in geek culture, but at the same time, those characters are also usually really well written, and they have a lot of depth and vulnerability, and there's a lot of interesting things about them. So, you know,
they need some more protective armor.
Well, I mean, come on. I know they're mutants, but really, like, boobs need to be, like, you know, come on.
I do.
I mean, this, like, why would you ever go into battle wearing a bustier, and why? It makes no sense. I mean, and their boobs are huge, and it frustrates me. It frustrates me. I can rant about it for a while.
I completely understand.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because some of the best characters in entertainment are in sci-fi fantasy, and they're also the worst dressed. So it's like, you know, yeah, so I think it's something that kind of needs to be worked on.
So when you're in sci-fi and you're looking for those strong female characters, what is it that you're looking for? What makes them strong? What can be done better, do you think, in sci-fi media to create those characters?
My epitome of a female character in sci-fi fantasy is Zoe from Firefly. She is brilliantly written and brilliantly performed, and her relationship with Wash is part of why I love her so much. She's appropriately dressed, for one thing. She's sexy as hell in that costume. She's really tough. She's really strong, like, physically, emotionally. She's funny. She's vulnerable. She's a well-rounded person. She can be vulnerable. She can be funny. She can worry. And she can also kick ass. And she doesn't have to apologize for it. There's no apologies about the fact that Zoe is a lot tougher than her husband. There's no apologies for that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't bother Wash. It doesn't bother her. You know what I mean? It's their relationship is so great. I hate it when there's a strong female character and for some reason they feel like they need to make her like weak in some way in order for her to attract whatever romantic interest is involved. Like, that's not the Wash-Zoe dynamic at all. You can see very clearly why she loves him and why he loves her, and she doesn't have to lessen herself in any way to make him feel, you know, powerful or whatever. They just are. They just be, and it's great. That's what I look for. That's my ideal right there.
It's fantastic. And Joss Whedon is just brilliant at that, at creating yes. those strong female characters and having... being able to have supporting male characters around them without anything being awkward or threatening.
Yes, absolutely.
A few more questions for you. If you could say one thing to all of the geek ladies out there, what would you like to say to them?
I would like to say, number one, don't accept challenges. Geek girls get challenged a lot because people don't believe, guys don't really believe they're actually geeky. Don't compete. Just be like, no. I am geeky. I'm allowed to be geeky. It's okay, you know? I would also tell them to get online, get on Twitter and start talking to people. Get on Tumblr or wherever. Find your community, because there's nothing better than a community of solid geek girls. They're just the best people in the world. And if you are a geek girl and you don't have geek girlfriends, go online and find them. The League of Extraordinary Ladies, the LXL.com. Our mission is to help geeks find other geeks. So go to the LXL.com and see if you can find people. And don't be shy about finding your community, because it's a great one. So get online and start looking and talking to people. Don't you know, I myself have social anxiety. So I want to encourage geeks to defeat it and go find their friends and find their role-playing groups and their laser tag groups or, you know, their marathon buddies. And, you know, when I say marathon, I mean geek movie marathon. I right. felt like I should be explained. We don't run. you know, so yeah, that's what I say. Don't be afraid to go find other geeks. Be brave. So there.
That's awesome. So where can everybody find your current projects online? And probably a question that you're sick of is, when can we expect season 3 of Awkward Embraces?
Season 3 of Awkward Embraces. I'm currently looking for funding. We're hoping to get some sort of sponsorship or something like that as far as budget goes. If I can't, we will definitely do an Indiegogo campaign again to crowdfund. There will be a season 3, I promise. I just don't know where the money is going to come from yet. So everybody's going to have to wait a little bit for me to see if I can find it somewhere. In the meantime, I will be putting out more awesome geeky content. So don't worry. Awkward Embraces will come back. In the meantime, there's going to be other cool stuff for you guys to watch. I am on Twitter at Geeky Jessica. I'm on Tumblr at Geeky Jessica on Tumblr. Awkward Embraces is at www.awkwardembraces.com, and I have a social anxiety blog on the LXL.com as well, and I think that's everywhere that you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I'll Still Be a Geek was courtesy of Marion Call. You can find out more about Marion a little later this week. We'll be interviewing her, or you can go straight to MarionCall.com. Thank you, Marion. Keep your eye on the Anomaly feed for another interview in 2 days. In the meantime, visit anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com for contact information and more. Thank you very much for listening. No TV series or movie changes the
Hello, I'm Greg, host of a podcast called Inappropriate Conversations. The show is breaking down barriers about discussing politics, sex, and religion. Society says we should keep them separated. I say come out and play. You'll find Inappropriate Conversations on iTunes in the politics section or at inappropriateconversations.podbean.com. Thanks for listening.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Hey, Guildies, this is Kenny from Knights of the Guild podcast, the official fan podcast for the award-winning web series, The Guild. I'm here with some really cool news. Not only are we still continuing our regular podcast, Microcast, and Minicast, we've now added Companion Cast. A Companion Cast is a podcast that coincides with the new episode of The Guild and will take you behind the scenes of that specific episode. I was fortunate enough to be on set for the filming of Season 5 and got exclusive interviews with cast and crew as they finished their scenes for that day. I also sit down with the creator of The Guild, Felicia Day, as well as the producer, Kim Evie, and the director, Sean Becker, and get insights into the workings of this fantastic web series. So when you're finished watching a new episode of The Guild, be sure to go to KnightsOfTheGuild.com and download the Companion Cast for some fun behind-the-scenes information.